بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي أنشأ خلقه بقدرته وكرم بني آدم من شعم نعمته وبث فيهم النبيين والمرسلين وبشر بالجنة من أطاعهم ومنذر من النار من عصاهم وخصنا بالنبي الأمي الحاشم المكي محمد ابن عبد الله ابن عبد المطلب الذي أدى الأمانة ونسح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حتى أتاه اليقين، صلوات الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبعد. أعزائي المستمعين، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يقعدون القوم يذكرون الله إلا حفت عليهم ملائكة وغش عليهم الرحمة ونزل عليهم السكينة وذكر الله في ذلك ما روي عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable علماء الكرام, respected elders, beloved brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest of salat and salam upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our sustainer, has wallahi favored us with many, many bounties and numerous favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us the favor of Iman and Islam, which transcends all favors and bounties. The greatest favor, the greatest bounty, and the greatest favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give any individual, regardless of his geographical disposition, which continent he comes from, which country he comes from, or regardless his family lineage, khandan, tribalism, and all that, subhanAllah, the greatest favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow upon us is this wealth of Iman. So wallahi, we ought to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great bounty of Islam and Iman. Like we're supposed to show gratitude for every other bounty, we need to show much more gratitude for this favor of Iman and Islam. Wallahi, many people out there who do not have Islam, do not have Iman, and many people have sacrificed to become Muslims. Some have sacrificed their wealth, some have even sacrificed family links and relationships because of the fact that they became Muslims and that. So we should make shukr Allah had given up Islam without any supplication and no application. It was truly and solely the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in the Quran that وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Nobody can believe in Iman and have Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as the Risalat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except with the permission granted only from Allah. So wallahi, we need to make shukr to Allah for this great bounty of Islam and Iman. And over that also, we need to give shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has brought us to the month of Sha'ban, which is a doorstep towards Ramadan. It is just 1 month before the month of Ramadan. It's the month of reflection, the month of recuperating, now coming back and making your tawajjuh and turning your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach Sahaba prior to the month of Ramadan, from the month of Rajab, that Allahumma barikna fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Allah, let us bless us in this month of Rajab and also the month of Sha'ban. And let us be among those fortunate slaves of yours who witness and take benefit of the month of Ramadan. He also taught them the dua, Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa sallimhu lana mutaqabbala. Wallah, save God us that we see the month of Ramadan. Save God us for us to reach the month of Ramadan. And save God the month of Ramadan that we also take benefit. Because many people will witness the month of Ramadan, and for some reason or the other, some will be valuable reasons and some will not be valuable reasons, but they will not take benefit from the month of Ramadan. So save God the month of Ramadan for us. وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا مُتَقَبَّلًا. And Allah save God this month of Ramadan in such a manner that whatever amals that we do, maybe huge amals or maybe small amal, sometimes we think amals and actions are small, but wallahi, in the eyes of Allah, they're very, very huge. Nabi says in the hadith, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْعًا. Do not consider any small, any deed to be small, any good deed to be small. Wallahi, it's huge in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, let us reach this month of Ramadan in the condition, in the manner, in the way that you accept our amals and our actions and our deeds. And above this, my dear brothers, we're living in such a time. Wallahi, in such a time that there is this one sifat and this one quality that everybody is in search of, regardless of their ethnicity, whether they are for the Asians or whether they are Africans or whether they are Europeans, and regardless of which country they come from, regardless of which standing they fit in society, whether they are from the common people, simpletons, or whether they're professional people, you know, regardless of, subhanAllah, regardless of the occupations, everybody is in need of this one quality and one sifat. In fact, so much so, wallahi, if you go to the universities and the colleges and that, you'll see that seminars and lectures have been given in the thousands on this one quality and sifat. So much so that the UNO also have formed an organization that to ensure that this one sifat prevails amongst the people. amongst the people, you know. And subhanAllah, so much so that there's so many ways and manners in which the government, the current government, or even the government that will take control later on also, have always had that department that will ensure that this one quality and sifat prevails among the subjects, among the people of the country. And what is this quality? This is the quality of happiness. Wallahi, happiness transcends creed also, because people who are not even Muslims also are in search of happiness. Everybody, you walk down the street, you see the man who's a car guard, you see the man who's owning a shop, you see the man that's, subhanAllah, everybody is in search of happiness. But happiness is a very elusive quality, a very, very difficult quality and sifat for us to acquire. Many people are in search of it, but very, very, very few people can acquire this. You know, we're all aspiring it, but very, very few people are acquiring this quality of happiness. So why is it so difficult? Why is it only few people are acquiring it? Because we're going around the wrong way looking for happiness. We think happiness is connected to other people's connection and relation with us. How people perceive us, then this tends to have an effect on our emotional connection with them. If people have bad perception with us, then it tends to bring us down a little bit. You know, if our relationship with this person or that person is down, then our happiness, it affects our happiness. Wallahi, but that's not supposed to be the case. Because if you look at the definition of happiness, the scholars have defined happiness. The Islamic scholars, in fact, the psychologists have defined it, backed up by the definitions of the scholars who have taken it from the real source, which is the Quran and the Hadith. They say happiness is a perpetual and a continuous state of well-being, mental, physical, and spiritual state of well-being. Your mental, spiritual, and physical state of well-being. If a person, these three parts of his life are correct, if mentally he's well, he's sound, spiritually he's sound, and physically he's sound, then subhanAllah, this person has acquired happiness. And as I said, because we have understood happiness to be different, that's why we find that we are not acquiring this quality. If you look at our pious predecessors, okay, let's not go that far. Look at even our forefathers. Subhanallah, they had little ulum, they had a little bit of the world. They had trials and tribulations, difficulties. Every era comes with difficulty. But wallahi, they seemed much more happy than you and I. You know, back in the days, if a person is traveling and is going to Johannesburg, then he'll go, without even, informally, he won't even phone his brother and tell his brother, I'm coming past. He will pop in at night, 12 o'clock, midnight, he'll come. And his brother will be so happy to accommodate him. Wallahi, he'll be happy, not faking. You know, now we're very good in faking and putting a facade and putting out an appearance. Wallahi, those days, genuinely, he will welcome him with and his children and his wife, everybody together, subhanAllah. And they'll be happy. It'll be no issue. There'll be no bickering about it afterwards and how they came here and this, that, and the other. No arrangements. SubhanAllah, we're happy. Now it's different. Now, 2 or 3 months in advance, you have to phone your own blood brother. You came from the same womb. You came under the same nurture, same parents to care for you. But now it's different. You know, you have to phone in months in advance, and sometimes excuses that will come forward, subhanAllah. You know. So emotionally, we have really neglected our relationships with our families. You know. So back in the days, you know, a person mentioned back in the days, there will be one mother will take care of 9 children. Today, 9 children can't take care of one mother. SubhanAllah. So all these things contribute to happiness. You know, those days, you know, the job was minimal, and you find the families were big, and the house was small, it was cramped up, but the house was rowdy. There was happiness, there was joy, there was smiles. You know, there was happiness, subhanAllah. Now we've got extra rooms that we don't, sometimes you don't even see the rooms in weeks or so. So many rooms we've got in the houses. You know. And the families are gone little. We became now, we become too conscious of the families, you know, that we've got, our tawakkul is changed. We think that we are sustaining our children. So family planning and all that has come. There is scope, obviously, in Sharia with regards to families planning and that. But it all depends on the person's intention. Families have become little. The house has become more spacious. But wallahi, you're living in the house. But it is as if you're living in a hotel. Because in a hotel, a whole lot of people are staying from different places. They all are sleeping the night there. They're all eating. But they all have different objectives. And they all have different things that they're doing. Same way in the house now. You know, all of us in the same house, but we barely hardly speak to each other because we are connected to this and that and the other. You know? And then when we do speak to each other, then it's because of misunderstandings, and that's subhanAllah. You know? If we just go back, take a step back, and go back to the lifestyle of our forefathers and how they lived their lives, subhanAllah, this proves and this shows why there is happiness in their lives. So as we mentioned, happiness, spiritual, physical, a mental state of being. It's connected to you, not to somebody else. Sometimes we think, we harbor those thoughts. Very naive also. We think that to ourselves and think, you know, I'm struggling now financially, but you know, when my child qualifies, you know, he finishes his degree or finishes his diploma, then things will be correct for me. Maybe things will be right. I'll be happy. I'll be much more happy. And we know we're living in a time, and subhanAllah, children got their own interests also. They also need to live their own lives. And many a times, we are disappointed by the results of what is happening with our children. Why we have tied our hopes on the progress of our children. Rather, try your hopes in Allah. Man i'tamada ala an-nas faqad qalla. Wa man i'tamada Allah fala qalla wa la dhalla wa la ikhtalla. The person who trusts on people, he has placed a trust on a person who is very, very unresourceful. Allah is beyond resourceful. Person who relies on Allah, he has relied on a being that is resourceful. Allah's khazain, his treasures are beyond limit. Subhanallah. And sometimes we think that, you know, if my wife gets her axe right, then I will be happy. I'll be a happy man. I'm stressing out because of the issues that she's giving me. Wallahi, her condition and the way she's reacting with you has nothing to do with your happiness. Happiness is a choice that you choose. If you choose to be happy, then you will be happy. If you choose to be happy, subhanAllah, you will be happy. You know, ulama mentioned, then in the portfolio of happiness, there are four qualities and sifats and ingredients that you have to look at and try to bring in your life. And these ingredients will bring happiness in any relationship. One is, the very forefront is Islam and Iman. Brothers, let us not bluff ourselves. No matter what you do, who you're doing it to, and whatever circles you are connected to, whatever connections you have, no matter how much you think you have progressed, but it's an artificial progress, you know. Wallahi, if you have not pleased Allah, you will never see happiness. Wallahi, you'll never see happiness. Get how much of wealth you want to get. Get the popularity and the fame that you want to get. You know? Get everything that you want to get, but if you haven't pleased your maker, you will never see happiness. So the very forefront is Islam and Iman. Allah mentions, من عمل صالحا من ذكر إلى أنثى وهو مؤمن. Those who do good deeds, male or female, they do good deeds while they're believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will give them a peaceful life. Peaceful life doesn't mean you will be the next millionaire. You know, back in the days when we were small, little, you know, the rand had a lot of strength. You know, I know in 2007, if a person had 7 million rands, so he becomes a dollar millionaire. Now, we're looking at 14, 15 million rands for a person to be a dollar millionaire. So there's no barakat in this wealth, and there's no barakat in anything else. But if a person, wallahi, brings tawakkul and trust in Allah, and he brings his life in conformity to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, deen hasn't come to make difficult for you and I. Deen had come to make things, to facilitate things for you. Deen had come to facilitate, to make things easy for you. Had not come to make a burden on you. When Allah has instructed you to make salat, it's not because Allah is benefiting from your salat. If Allah has instructed you to fast in the month of Ramadan, Allah benefits, wallahi, nothing from your fasting. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has telling you now that you have person who has nisab and it's you qualified to give zakat, and you have to, it's mandatory, compulsory for you to give zakat, Allah benefits from not one dime that you take out. But you going for Hajj and Umrah, Allah, brother, wallahi, if you make so much of sajda that you burn the carpet, it will not benefit Allah one bit. But rather, it will benefit you as well as your khandan, your family also, subhanAllah. So that which is the forefront is Islam and Iman. You know, if you please Allah, then you have pleased everything. And the person mentioned says, دنیا کے لیے آخرت کو برباد نہیں کرو بھائی کسی انسان کو خوش کرنے کے لیے اللہ کو ناراض بھی نہیں کرو. Don't sell your آخرت in lieu of the dunya. You know, you're selling our آخرت in lieu of truthful and small things of the world. You know, because this person is saying that and that person is saying this, I won't practice my sunnah. Because I'm in the company of such people, then I wouldn't practice. Wallahi, the beauty of sunnah, the morals that you'll acquire from sunnah, wallahi, it's beyond comprehension. Each and every sunnah has the ability of reforming a nation. Each and every sunnah, wallahi, if you look at it. Unfortunately, what happens is, we'll hear the sunnahs, we'll listen to this, the virtue of the sunnah, and we'll be taught the sunnah when we're small, and we'll not show so much importance of it. And then down the line, one scientist who's a kafir, who doesn't even know the essentials of taharat, he will tell you some medical benefits of this. Then now your eyes will open up and now you'll see, oh, subhanallah. See the sunnah. See how great the sunnah is. Unfortunately, we're waiting for them to confirm these things. Nabi Sam had confirmed these things 1439 years ago. Long time Nabi Sam had confirmed these things. Subhanallah. So the very forefront is Islam and Iman. And as I mentioned, we'll reiterate that one point. I mentioned, wallahi, if you haven't pleased Allah, you will never see happiness in your life. You may see happiness, but it's an artificial happiness. You know, like a person says, in a very light note, he says, I went to the mechanic, you know, and then I told the mechanic, you know what, I've got a problem with my car. And the mechanic says, what seems to be the problem? He says, you know, when I'm moving with the car, I'm hearing a sound. And you know, people like me and you, a majority of us who do not know mechanics, say that we tend to get an anxiety when we hear the sounds because we think, now, hey, how much is that? The cost implications, how much is it going to cost me? How much is it going to cost me, you know? We haven't budgeted for these things. So he goes to the mechanic with all that anxiety and says, you know, this is the problem. I'm hearing sounds when I'm moving in the car. The mechanic tells him, arre bhai, fikr mat karo. Don't worry. Relax. It's a small issue. You're making a mountain of an anthill. He says, you know what you need to do is, when you're moving with the car, and when you hear the sound, just turn up your stereo. Pick up the radio volume. The sound is no longer there. Now, for a person to put full yaqeen on what the mechanic says is very, very foolish. Because the sound is not there, but the problem still remains. Likewise, we're looking for solutions in the wrong places. And many a times, we want tailor-made fatwas. We want tailor-made fatwas. Fatwas that appeal to me, appeal to my circumstance. It must be academic. You know, we're living in the advanced time. You know, we're living in that time. We want a fatwa that appeals to me. You know. And therefore, when the ulama tells us this, that, and the other, we say, no, man, these ulama are talking of the camel age. We want something of now. We want something of now. You know, a person goes from Molana to Molana, asking for the fatwa. He goes to this Molana, he gets the fatwa. Fatwa's the same. He goes to that one, the fatwa's the same. He says, you know, maybe the Molanas don't know this thing. Let me speak to the Muftis. He goes from Mufti to Mufti, and he goes to the Grand Mufti. He gives him one grand, he gives him the fatwa. This is what we want. We want to pay for something that is conducive to us. We want something that tailor makes, something that is within our nafs and our carnal desires. So the very first thing, as we mentioned, is Islam. And the second thing, which is most important, is family ties. And we mentioned a little brief with regards to family ties. And it's going to take us bayans on ends to explain the importance of family. We know, wallahi, family ties, we have broken the family relationships on small, petty things. We're quarreling on small things that shaitan has now hoodwinked us. And wallahi, we don't even bat an eyelid to break a family tie. We say, well, I don't need him. What is he? I don't need him. Who is he? Subhanallah. He's your brother, your biological brother. And in small differences, you're ready to break ties with him. Small issues, you know, things have gone so bad, that the husband and wife, under one roof, under one house, on the very same bed, sitting side to side each other, not very far, side to side to each other. They're both smiling, but they're not smiling with each other. They're smiling because he's on a different group chat and she's in a different group chat. So emotionally, we're suffering. We have exhausted ourselves emotionally. Even our children. Wallahi, we don't have time for our children. We may plan through the excuses. You know, Mulana, I've got so much of responsibilities. You know, I'm working from 9 to late. You know, I'm working so much. You know, I've got no time. Wallahi, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with all the responsibility that he had time for his grandchildren. He had time for his wife. We need to give time. You know, we say, Mulana, I'm investing for them. I'm investing for them. It's their future. The shop I'm leaving is for their future. This business that I'm establishing is there for, I'm investing for them. Brother, wallahi, forget investing for them. Invest in them. Because tomorrow, when you leave that company, and then you retire, and you've got all the wealth, the relationship between you and your son has drifted so far, you are practically a stranger to him. And there's no mending at that time. It's too late. Now, at that time, you want to spend time with the wife. Now when you have retired, wallahi, it's too late. You have drifted too far apart. You have become practical strangers to each other. Why? You have given preference to things where you're not supposed to give preference to. You know, there was statistics that was held with regards to professional people, like CEOs and directors of huge corporate companies, you know. People who were in the late 50s and about to retire, you know. And they were asked, you know, that, you know, you have accomplished yourself in terms of, you need a corporate company, corporate world, you have really accomplished. But is there any regrets that you have? Wallahi, most of them says, my regret that I have is that I spend less time on my wife and my children. And then when you retire, it's too late. Wallahi, it's too late at that time. Then you want to call in the ulama, and then you want to call in the mashayikh, and then you want to do this and that and the other. But you by yourself have caused the problem. You by yourself has caused the problem. Now it's too late for you to get a solution to the problem. Subhanallah. You know, one scholar, he says, Musalman to girte girte, itna gir gaya Allah ke kasam girne ke jaga nahi raha. That Muslims have stooped so low, lower than that, there is no other low. We have forgotten the lessons of our pious predecessors. Our elders, people who would teach us morals and etiquette, people who would teach us how to live life correctly, properly, subhanallah. So the second, as I mentioned, family ties and family relationships, we have lost this. And that's why now we have children. The schools are complaining. Wallahi, the schools complain that the children, they're not the way they're supposed to be. Children are different. They've got mental diseases that we can't even understand. Obsessive compulsive disorder. Where was that happening? When I was small, there was no child obsessive compulsive disorder. Maybe he's got a jinnat. He can't be acting like that. No. Bipolar, all these sicknesses, where they came from? They didn't just stem out like that. It is the emotional connection that we're supposed to have with our children. We no longer have that emotional connection. And therefore, these mental issues, all these sicknesses are popping and springing out. Children are becoming rebellious to their parents. And then the third aspect, the third thing that will help a person to, subhanallah, be happy and bring happiness in his life, is contributing to society. Brothers, we're not living in an island. We're not indispensable. We need to understand that wherever we live, we're living around people. So we need to contribute to the upliftment of other people. You know, when a person gives to somebody else, the happiness he enjoys in his heart is far more better than he does for himself. You know, when you buy the car, your child's very first car, it may be a Scoro, 323 Datsun, old car. But wallahi, the happiness your child will display, that will bring much more happiness to you than you buying the latest Mustang GT 500, subhanallah. Why? You're doing for somebody else. It's only a self-centered person will find much more pleasure, much more happiness when he's doing for himself than when he's doing for somebody else. So we need to put our shoulders in the responsibility of uplifting of the community, wherever we're living. And uplifting of the community, it doesn't mean most of the time that we need to now form an organization, we need to get office bearers, and we need to get a secretary, we need to now draft up a constitution. No, it doesn't actually mean that. Helping in any way you can help to contribute and to uplift a community, this itself brings happiness. Wallahi, this brings happiness. And then the fourth thing is, happiness lies squarely on you. If you are not happy, there is no bringing happiness to anybody else. You know, if the lantern is not lit, it's not going to light anything else. You need to make an effort to bring happiness to yourself. And then like that, inshallah, via a ripple effect, you will bring happiness to other people. And we'll finish just a small anecdote, an example of how it is important for us to make an effort to bring on ourselves so that happiness can go to other people also. You know, there was a man who used to, he was a woodcutter, you know. So he used to cut about 3-4 logs a day, you know. But then his boss wasn't just the boss, he was a leader, very innovative also. So he called him and told him, see, your production seems to be very steady, very low, you know. You know what we do is every time you cut extra logs, then we will give you an incentive. We'll give you an incentive, so maybe that will now increase and give you the josh and make you cut more logs. You know, it's important. Sometimes we need to give incentives. We need to acknowledge people, acknowledge the wife, acknowledge the son, acknowledge the child. He may have made mistakes and wrong, but you need to acknowledge. Where he does good, you acknowledge. Where she does good, you need to acknowledge. You know, it goes a long way. Nabi Sam had that quality also. So, subhanallah, he says to him, okay, every time you cut an extra log, I'll give you more wealth. You know. So what happens, subhanallah, the production increased. The point came, and now he's cutting 10 logs a day. And he's happy, and the boss is happy. Production is getting more, and he's also getting more out of it. But after some time, numbers start going down. And it went down so down that it even went beyond 3 also. So he was called back to the office and asked, what's the problem? You know, production has gone so low. He says, I don't understand. Because you know what? I'm coming earlier to work. I'm giving more effort. My lunch breaks and tea breaks, I'm minimizing it. And I'm giving more effort, but nothing seems to be changing the numbers. You know, I'm not getting more. So as I said, he wasn't just a boss, he was a leader. So he told him, when last have you sharpened the axe? So we need to ask ourselves also, when last have we sharpened our axe? When last have you given time to yourself? Maybe you've got a spot that you like. Probably you like fishing. When last did you go out just yourself? Or maybe with a few friends, or even with the family also. When last you went out and probably go to the chalets. So giving time, this wallahi will bring and ignite happiness within yourself. So give time to yourself, and this will bring happiness to other people also. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, to be among such people that when we leave the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased and happy with us, and we are pleased and happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.